We're holding on page Mem Zayin in Shabbos, the fourth line, middle of Samach Tes. We're in the middle of, we said yesterday that children came to this Medrash one day in times of Yeshua and Levi, and they said, and they started saying drushes about the meaning of the order of the names and the order of the alphabet, of the letters of the alphabet. So we're up to, we went through Aleph through Tzadik, through Langa Tzadik so far, and now we're up to Kuf. So they continue. Kuf represents Kodesh, specifically the Holy One, meaning Hashem, and Resh stands for Russia. With all these things, by the way, I mean, there are many different other explanations, and in fact, Marshall over here refers to something in Osius de Rabbi Akiva that has the other way around, actually, that mentions that Resh actually represents Hashem, who is the Rosh, who is the head of all creation. In Basi Lagani also, we have the whole thing about that Kuf and Resh are both letters of Klipa. They're both like debased forms of Dalet and Hay, of Hay and Dalet respectively, and so on and so forth. So obviously, there's many different ways to understand each one of them. Anyway, here in this Jerusha, we're saying that Kuf and Resh represent respectively Hashem and the Rosha. So my time on the Hadu Api de Kuf me Resh. So why is the face of the Kuf turned away from the Resh? So really, Rashi says, it means the other way around, really. It means that the face of the Resh, meaning the open side of it, is turned away from the Kuf. But because we're saying that the Kuf represents Hashem, what we say it in a more respectful way, like the Kuf has its face turned away from the face of the Resh, rather than saying the other way around, as though like the Resh has its back towards the Kuf. So why is that? What?
How come the Kuf represents Hashem?
Because the word stands for the word Kodesh, yeah. So Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Ani Yochol Yistakel B'Rosha. So the reason is because Hashem says I can't bear to look at the Rosha. So that's why the open side of the Kuf doesn't face the open side of the Resh. My time in the Hadar tagged the Kuf Lagabi Resh. So why is there a tag on the roof of the letter Kuf? There's a tag and points. And it points a little bit towards the Resh. Why? So Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Choizaboy, Hashem says about the Rosha, if he does Tshuva, and he kosher like Kesel Kamosi, I will tie a crown onto him like my crown. Meaning, in other words, the Rosha shouldn't think that it's actually in today's Rambam of Shloisha Prakim that a person is apt to think that if he's Baal Tshuva, that Hashem is never going to fully accept him again and so forth. No, Hashem is saying, I'll give you a crown like equal to mine. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in fact, points out, you have an example of it in history, where Hashem says to Yeravam, after he had been Choyte or Machias or Abmanol, Hashem is giving him a chance to do Tshuva, and says, if you do, then you and I and David HaMelech will walk together in Gan Eden. So we see a real example where Hashem is making that offer to a Rosh. What? Mibarosh, yeah. Next, my time of carriage a Kuf Tloya, why is the leg of the Kuf hanging? Why is it not attached to the rest of the letter? So, because that way, if it represents that if the Rosha wants to do Tshuva, then he has a way of getting back in. Like, so to speak, he's fallen out the bottom of the Kuf. Now he can climb back up and come back in through that hole on the side. The Gemara mentions in Menachos something similar about the shape of the letter Hey, similar idea where also like you have the guy has fallen through the bottom and now he picks himself up and then squeezes back in through that hole. So the Gemara says, "Misayle l'Rishlokish." This point supports what Rishlokish says: the idea that Hashem makes a special opening for the Rosha to do tshuva. The Amar Rishlokish, my dichtiv. What does it mean in a pasuk? Im la leitzim hu yolitz. If for the leitzim are scoffers, people who don't take anything of kedusha seriously. They think it's all one big joke. So if with scoffers hu yolitz, then he will make, and then he will make him scoff. He will make him a letz. He himself will become a let. V'lan novim, but to the humble ones, yitin chen, Hashem will give grace. So Rish Lakish explains, it means boli tame, if a person wants to make himself tame and wants to be a let, poischin loy, then Hashem will open a door for him. Hashem is not gonna help him with it, but Hashem is not gonna prevent him either. He has b'chir chafshis. So therefore, im la leitzim, if a person wants to be with the leitzim, hu yolitz, he himself can be a let, Hashem won't prevent him. Tosfos brings a different girsa, not poschen loy, but psochen loy. There are many entrances, there are many ways that he could do that if that's what he chooses to do. But on the other hand, but the body taher, but if a person wants to become taher, he wants to be lanovim, he wants to be among the humble, then Messiah Oysa, then Hashem helps him. Therefore, the pasuk says, yiten chen. Hashem gives them grace. In other words, Hashem helps him out with that. Marashah gives a long, interesting explanation over here that we're saying over here now that the Kuf represents Hashem and the Reish the Rasha, and we're saying that Hashem always wants the Rasha to do tshuva and come close to him. We find Kapitol Chof Hei, which we say in Tachnun, the Dabar Elecha Hashem Nafriyasa, most of the letters of the Aleph Beis are more that start, each posik starts with one of the letters of the Aleph Beis, and a couple of letters missing. There's no posik beginning with Kuf, and instead there are two psukim beginning with Reish. So, So what's going on? Marashah explains, here David HaMelech is davening about the enemies of his, the Rishoyim, that Hashem should not, like this, Hashem was saying, stands to the right side of the Rasha and is always ready to re-accept him. Therefore, we have the Kuf and the Aleph Beis comes before the Resh, meaning that it's to the right of it, because Hebrew is written from right to left. On the other hand, here, David is asking, Hashem, don't stand there by the right side of the Rosh, being ready to receive him in Tshuva, but rather, and then he mentions that Fakir, the Sutton should stand over there, the Sutton being a Rosh, and cause the person to go further and further down. So therefore, so in this capital, Elech Hashem Nafshiyasa, he's saying, you have my enemies, the Rishoyim, so the one Reish representing the Rasha, the Satan, should stand next to the other one, the Reish, the human Rasha, and make him be worse and worse off, rather than Hashem helping him to do Tshuva, because, as the Rambam discusses in Hilchos Tshuva, sometimes you have people who misuse their Bechira Chopshis to the extent where they lose their, Hashem takes away their ability to change their mind and do tshuva. So therefore, so in that capital, David is representing that by having no kuf and two rishis. Next. Because they can't do tshuva, yeah, for them to die or for them to be led down the wrong path more and more by the Satan. Yeah. Next, in the drosha about the Aleph Beis, Shin represents Sheker and Tof represents Emes, because Shin is the first letter of Sheker and Tof is the last letter of Emes. Here also, you know, it's one of those things. Again, you have many different places where they dash in things differently. In Basilagani, it brings from the Zohar that just the opposite. Shin is a letter of Kedusha, and therefore, just like the Gemara says in Soter, it was just in the Daf for today's day of Sfiras Omer, Daf Lamed Hey, where it talks about the idea that every Sheker has to begin with a little bit of Emes, or else nobody will accept it. So it talks about over there about the idea that the word sheker has to begin with the shin, a letter of kedusha, in order to make it possible for the rest of it to stand. But here the Gemara is taking the opposite tack on it, that the shin itself represents sheker. The reason is, Marashah says, because the shin represents sheker. Now why? Because up until now, you haven't had only kuf, resh, and shin, or the letters of sheker. So only now, when we reach the shin, are we starting to doubt shin about that. And same thing with emes. Not the first letter, because obviously you have the kuf and the resh. Now you have the entire word sheker. Now you have all the three letters that make up sheker. Similarly, when you come to tuf, then you have all the three letters of emes. So my time is sheker mikarvin milay emes merachkan milay. So why is it the letters of sheker are all together in the aleph beis, kuf, resh, and shin are right next to another, and emes is scattered all over the aleph beis, aleph at the beginning, mem in the middle, tof at the end? The reason is because shikra shchiach. It's very easy to find falsehood. Kushta lo shchiach. It's not so easy to find truth. In particular, the Maharal talks about the idea that there's only one truth, but there's many different falsehoods. So therefore, it's a lot easier to find one than the other. That's the Gemara is going to mention that point next. What?
The mem is the exact middle.
The middle is the exact middle, right. If you include the end of letters, if you don't include the end of letters, then you have Lamed, and then there's 22 letters in the Aleph Beis, and then Kof and Lamed are the two middle ones. But if you count the end of letters, then yeah, mem comes out in the middle. In fact, Marashah refers to a medrash where the malachim were arguing when Hashem wanted to create Adam and Chava, should he be created or not? And the power of Sheker was saying, yeah, let him be created because people are full of Sheker. And Emes was saying he shouldn't. So we see, in other words, that Sheker is a lot easier to find in human society than Emes. So therefore, that's represented again by the letters Sheker all being together and the letters Emes being spread all around. Next, so my time is shikra achoda tarekoi. Why is it each of the letters of the word sheker stands on one leg? So the kuf has one leg sticking downward, so does the Reish. As far as the shin, the post can bring on this basis, this is where we get. Unlike in Siddur letters, where a shin has a wide bottom, in a Sefer Torah, the shin is supposed to have a pointy bottom based on this Gemara over here, that it stands on one point. So why is that? And on the other hand, the MS Malbin Labuni, whereas all the letters of MS are well supported. Malbin Labuni literally means they're like bricks. They're laid out nicely and stably like bricks. So the Aleph has two letters, the Mem and the Mem and the Sof both have a wide base, so they stand very firmly. Because Kushka Koi, Shikra Loi Koi, truth ultimately stands, sheker does not. So like sheker tips over, represented by the point that they each stand on one leg. With that said, I mean, you know, the truth is, I mean, the Alter Rebbe talks about in Tanya, the idea when he contradicts, talks about the avodah of the Beinoni, to a certain extent, the avodah of the Beinoni relative to that of the Tzaddik is an avodah of sheker, because after all, he davens, and while he's davening, his Yetzirah is under control, but then he finishes davening or learning, and it's back to normal. So in a certain sense, that is sheker, and it's represented by the fact that it doesn't last for very long. Nonetheless, though, it's still an avodah, because, halavai she's spalot and polo and kola, and he can constantly be aroused that. So yeah. Okay. Now that we went through the entire Aleph phase, now these children are going to continue darshaning some of the different orders of the letters. So Rashi points out that these various orders you can find in Sefer Yetzirah, and you find them in all over the place in Sifrei Kabbalah, that they're used to transpose letters one to the other. You know, the Alter Rebbe talks about in Tanya that every transposition of a letter, every time that a letter is transformed into a different one, then it shows a reduction in the amount of Ur and the amount of energy from Hashem that's in it, and therefore you have those the words of the Asara Ma'amoris that the world was created with, and then those are transformed using these various ciphers into other letters, and those letters into other letters, and so forth, and that steps down the koyach to be able to create various nigroyim. So the first one of those, the Gemara is going to darshan, and then these children are going to darshan, is atbash. You pair up the first letter of the aleph phase with the last one, the second one with the second to last, and so forth. So they start off, atbash stands for oisitiev. Hashem says about a rosha, he treated me in a disgusting way, or he acted in a way that disgusts me. Es avaloi, should I desire him? Should I try to help him out? So in other words, the aleph stands for oisi tiev, and also for es ava. So representing, in other words, Hashem is saying, I don't want to have anything to do with the rasha. On the other hand, Maharsha says the aleph represents the oneness of Hashem. The tough represents again Tiev, that he acted in a disgusting way. Nevertheless, Maharsha says that it's not a statement, like Rashi says, it's actually a rhetorical question. Oh no, Rashi rather said it's a rhetorical question. Maharsha says it's actually a statement. Hashem is saying, nevertheless, es avaloi, I still am desiring him, and I'm looking forward, like we said before, that he will do tshuva. So then he can beis shin bash stands for be lois choshak. He didn't desire to have anything to do with me. Shmi yochol olav. Should my name rest on him? Again, according to Rashi, it's a rhetorical question. According to Maharsha, the vort is the beis represents that. First of all, it stands for the word be, but also it represents beis represents two. So it stands for this person doesn't want to have to do with one Hashem. He's more interested in having the idea that there are two gods. Chas v'shalom. So therefore, he's acting very badly. Nevertheless, Hashem says, my name is represented by Shin. We even have the Shin of the Tefillin. So Hashem says, Shmi Yochol Olav, still, I want my name, as in the Shin of Tefillin, to rest on him, that he should develop a Yudah for me and do Tshuva. Yisrael, Africhachot, Yisrael. So that's represented by the Beis Shin. The Gimel Reish represents Gufei Timei. He made his body Tomei. Arachem Olav, should I have Rachmonis on him? And again, Maharsha understands that this is also meant as a statement. Hashem is saying, Gufoi Timei, the Gimel not only represents for the word Guf, but it also represents Goimel, as in like he does good for his body by giving his body the various things that it'll enjoy. So nevertheless, Hashem says, I have Rachmanus, and if he does Tshuva, then I'm willing to accept him back. And that Dalad Kuf stands for Dal Soisai Noal. He locked up my doors. Kaunohi Loyagadeya. Should I not cut down his horn, meaning his strength? So here, Marashah says, actually, this one is actually meant as a rhetorical question. If after everything else, Hashem is still represented by At and Bash and Gar, that Hashem is still willing to give him a break and accept him in Tshuva, if nevertheless he closes up the doors of Tshuva, and he refuses to do Tshuva, or Marashah says another possibility could be that he literally closes the doors of the shuls and the Bater Medrash, like we find, for example, that Ochaz did, so then he taka deserves that he should have his horns, meaning his strength, should be cut down, and that means also the idea, the word keren, besides meaning horn, meaning strength, it also means the principle, like that keren kayemes lo'olam haba. So therefore, so it refers to a point, Marashah brings from Gemara and Chagiga, that every person has a portion in Gan Eden and a portion in Gehenim. When the Rosha forfeits his portion in Gan Eden, then the tzaddik instead gets that, so a tzaddik gets the portion that should have been for himself as well as for this other guy who forfeited it. So that's represented by his keren, his principal portion in Olam Haba being cut down and given instead to the tzaddik. So the ad kan midas rishonim, up until this point, is we're talking about we're talking about how it is with the and Eitz Yosef points out more points as well that the at represents that the person denies Hashem. The bash represents that he doesn't want it, that he disrespects some of the chachamim who are close to Hashem. You know, you have in Rashi, in today's Chumash, you have the progression that a person, the seven stages that a person may go through, starting with he doesn't learn Torah and he doesn't keep mitzvahs and he hates people who do and tries to interfere with them and so on and so forth. So the bash says that Eitz Yosef represents such a person. And Gar represents the person where in particular he made himself tome with Arias. And then Dalsoy said, no, all again means like Marashah says that he refuses to do Tshuva. He has, there's a door open to him, like we said before, the door in the, at the top of the kuf, but he refuses to take advantage of it.
Many times, someone who's sinning, they don't deny Hashem. They know while they're sinning that Hashem.
Right, so we're talking about, that's what we're talking about, there are different levels, exactly. Right, so we're talking about there are different kinds of rishoyim. So ad kan midas rishoyim. Up until this point, we're darshining atbash the way it goes as far as rishoyim. Avo midas tzaddikim. But now let's talk about instead how we can darshan those same pairs of letters as referring to the tzaddikim. Why do we stop at this point with the rishoyim? Marashah explains, because at this point we've reached the letter hey. Hey already is a nehei and vav already letters of Hashem's name. Like we had before in the straight Aleph phase with the children Darshan, Hey Vav Zeshmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So at this point then, we don't want to deal with the Rishoyim anymore. Now we need to be talking about the Midas of Tzaddikim. So therefore, starting over again, Atbash stands for Im Atabosh, if you are embarrassed, meaning Rashi says you're embarrassed to do Aveiros, meaning of the Yavirah Shemayim. So if you have that good Midah, so that's Atbash, Imata Bosh, Gordok, then you have Gimel Reish and Dalad Puf, represents Imata Oisekain. If you act in that way, Gur Bedoit, you will be able to live, you will be able to dwell in the Doit. The word Doit literally means a curtain or something spread out of a membrane, kind of, for example, it's used, for example, like a membrane that grows over the eye. So here it refers to the shamayim, which are like a membrane. You have layers of shamayim. So therefore, what we're saying is a person who acts like that deserves to be, Rashi says, his neshama will be under the kisei hakavod in the doik in shamayim. Marashah refers to you having Pirkei Avos, and this is Pirkei Avos, Bosh is Ponim L'Gan Eden. So therefore, when a person is Imata Bosh, then Itaka has that Gur B'Doik that he's able to dwell in the Doik, in the canopy of Shemayim. Then the next group is Hey Tzadik and Vav Fei. So that stands for the Hey we darshan as though it was a Ches, as Chazal often do. So that stands for Chatzitza Habe Bein Chalavein Af. There will be a barrier between you and the anger of Hashem. In other words, that the your Zchusim will protect you when Hashem is angry with the world, and bring Toronis on the world. Marashah explains, with the idea is the Hey and the Vav again represent Hashem's name. That itself, Hashem's name, will save you from, will screen you and protect you from the anger. and in particular the letter Fei represent the letter Lang Fei represents anger, as Maharshal refers to. You have there's a number we find a number of negative words that end with a Lang Fei, negev, shetzef, onach, and so forth. In fact, it's brought in Sfarim that in the entire benching in the entire Birkas Hamazon there's every other letter except for Lang Fei, because Lang Fei represents Hashem's anger, and therefore it's inappropriate to use it where we're thanking Hashem for the goodness that He bestowed on us. So therefore, so here the hey tzaddik vav fei, the hey tzaddik again we're darshaning as if it was ches tzaddik meaning chatzitza, and the vav fei, so together we also darshan that it means the hey vav, the two letters, those two letters of Hashem's name will be the protection against the lang fei, against the anger represented by that letter. Next, the next three pairs are zayin ayin ches samach tes nun. So that stands for the ein atem, the word za is like to tremble, like kumbalay zomimenu. Chas ton is the ein atem mizazeya min asotan. You won't have to tremble because of the satan. Here we're doing the opposite. We're doubting the ches as though it was a hey. So therefore, you have spelled out hey samach tes nun, which spells out has satan. So it means also, Maharshal said, it still also has meaning with the ches, means Hashem will have chos, Hashem will have rachmanos on you, and helps and save you from the suffering that you won't have to feel. And again, Abba L'Tayr, Messiah knows that, like we said before.
This is all related to
now the tzaddik. Unlike the Rosho, who we stopped over there at Dalad Kuf, now we're going through the midah of the tzaddik. If he starts out with bush, if he has that sense of busha before Hashem that prevents him from doing averus, then he's zoicha to all these good things. Next, the last two pairs of letters of Atbash are Yud Mem and Kof Lamed. So that represents Yam Kol. So it means Omer Sausha Gehenim of Nakodish Baruch Hu, the Malach in charge of Gehenim, says to Hashem, the Bonish Lelim, why Yam Kol, everybody should be going into the sea. Now, where Gehenim, Rashi explains, is called the sea in the sense that pretty much everybody ends up over there. The same way as you have the Pasuk Kol Nacholim Ochel Mayam, that all the rivers and streams eventually drain into the sea, the same way most people end up in Gehenim for a period of time. So now, the Sausha Gehenim is arguing, I want everybody to be in Gehenim, including the Jewish people. So even though we're just saying that this person is being told that he won't be afraid of the Satan, the Sarish or Gehenim is arguing against that. It shouldn't be like that. In particular, Eitz Yosef points out, you know, also another reason why Yam can be a metaphor for Gehenim. He says the truth is Yam doesn't really mean the sea per se. It means the sea floor. For example, we find that, you know, the pasuk kamayim layom machasim, like water covers the sea. The water doesn't cover the sea. The sea is water. It means it covers the seabed. So the same way, so therefore, in other words, Gehenim can be compared to like the seabed, like an open pit into which everybody falls. So now the Sausha Gehenim is saying, I want to have everybody, Jews and Goyim all alike. So now Hashem answers him with the next form of transpositions of letters. This one is, instead of with Akbash, we divide the Aleph Beis into two groups, and we put the first with the last, and so on and so forth. The next one that the Gemara is going to darshan over here, called Achas Batag Gif, what we do is we divide the Aleph Beis into three groups. There are 22 letters in the Aleph Beis, leaving aside the end of letters. 22 divided by 3 is 7 with a remainder of 1. So you have the first group is the first 7 letters, Aleph to Zayin. The second one is Ches to Nun. The last one is Samach to Shin. And then Tuf is appended to that last group. So the last group is made up of 4 letters, Zayin, Nun, Shin, Tuf. And again, the idea is that you can transpose any letter from the group with any of the other ones. So Aleph can be transposed to Ches or to Samach and so forth. And then Beis can be transposed into Tesu Ayin and so forth with all the other ones. Again, this is something Rashi mentions. All of these are mentioned in Sefer Yetzirah as various ways that we can darshan psukim, that we can darshan words and psukim and learn things from them. And as the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, these are ways in which Hashem steps down the energy of the Asara Mamoris to create things in our world. Rashi even mentions an example of that in Masechta Pesachim, when it says over there, the Gemara discusses over there how we know that you're not allowed to eat chametz beginning from noon on Erev Pesach, Midaraisa, and Midarabonim, you have even earlier than that. We learn it from the fact that the Pesach says Ach by Yemarishan, and the Gemara says Ach means Cholach. So Rashi says, because using this method of Achas Batag that we're talking about over here, the Aleph of Ach can be transformed into Ches, because we're saying Aleph Ches Samach go together, and the Chof of the Chof of Ach can turn into a tzaddik, and that gives us the word chatz, which is related to the word chatzi, meaning a half. So there you have an example where that transposition is used to as a hint for halacha. Anyway, so achas b'tagif, this is Hashem responding to the Sarja Gehenim, means Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu ani chos aleihem. The achas represents an aleph stands for ani, that I have rachmanus on them. The ches stands for chas. Mipnei she'boatu b'gif, because they kicked away and they rebelled against gif. Gif being an Aramaic word for znus. So the Jewish people have kicked away and rebelled against znus, and they don't want to have anything to do with it, and therefore Hashem says, I have rachmanos on them, and I'm not going to allow them to end up in Gehenna. Maharsha refers in this connection to a Gemara in Erevin that says that Avraham Avinu sits by the door of Gehenna, and anybody who has a bris milah, anyone who was metameh is bris milah, then Avraham will keep him out of Gehenna. Only if he was metameh it with bias asuris and didn't do tshuva, then Avraham doesn't recognize him, and then he ends up over there. So that's what we're saying. Because the Jewish people rebelled against and have nothing to do with gif, with znus, therefore they're saved from Gehenna. Then Hashem continues, the next group of this achas bata is dalad chof tzadik, that represents dakim heim. Hashem says they are pure. And the word dakim actually can be related to the Aramaic word dechei, which means pure. It can also be, that's the basic meaning of it. So dakim heim, they're pure. Kanim heim, they're honest. Tzadikim heim, and they are tzadikim. Why the triple expression? So obviously that's dalet chof tzadik, stands for dakim, kanim, tzadikim, but Maharsha explains, because you actually have, the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, you have three different groups. You have tzadikim, beninim, and rishoyim. So now you have the rishoyim. They have to be judged in Gehenim for a while. They did succumb to the Yetzer Hara, and because of that, they have to be cleaned up in Gehenim. Nevertheless, they're still kanim. They're still honest in their amunah. Like you were just saying, they didn't deny Hashem. They succumbed to the Yetzer Hara, but they're still kanim. They're still faithful in their belief in Hashem. The dakim refers to the beninim because they're pure. They're going to end up being zoychavadin. And tzaddikim means exactly that, tzaddikim. So Hashem is saying, all those three groups, there's no reason you, Sarsha Gehenim, are thinking that any members of those groups should wind up in Gehenim long term. Not so. None of them belong there. But Amish Kulam tzaddikim. Then the next group is Hey Lamed Kuf. That stands for, Hashem says, to the Sarsha Gehenim, Ein Lachoch Chelek Behem, you have no portion in them. Again, doushing the Hey as though it was a Ches. So they all have a chelik on the rabba, and on the other hand, you Sarsha Gehenim, have no business with them. The next two groups are Vav Mem Resh, and then the last group is, again, we said it's four letters, Zayin Nun Shin Sof. So that represents Om Gehenim Ufanav. The Sarsha Gehenim still doesn't give up. He argues to Hashem, Mori, my master, Zoneni, sustain me, Mizare Shal Shais, with all the people who are descended from Shais. Now Shais is the son of Adam and Hashem, and all of humanity descends from him, because Cain and Hevel didn't leave any living descendants. So everybody's descended from Shais. So again, the Sarsha Gehenim is arguing everybody, whether Goyim or Jews, belongs in Gehenim, and I want to be fed with them. So the Vav Mem Resh then would stand for Omar, and also for Mori, my master, and Zon, Zayin Nun, and Shin Sof stands for Zaineni from Shais. So sustain me with Shais. Eitz Yosef talks about in particular, first of all, he says that the various things that Hashem is talking about in praise of the Jewish people refers to that within Arayas themselves, there are different kinds. There are ones that are Chayiv Misas based in, there are ones that are Chayiv Koris, and there's ones that are only Chayiv Elavim. So therefore he says that's the triple expression, Dakim Heim, Kanim Heim, Tzadikim Heim. Now that Hashem said, bought with gift, they kicked away and they have nothing to do with gift, with Znus, not only do we mean not the serious kinds that a Chayiv Misas is based in, and not even the somewhat serious kinds that a Chayiv Koris, but not even the minor ones that a Chayiv only Elav. So therefore Hashem uses that triple expression. So first he explains the Sarsha Gehenim was trying to accuse the people of Znus, and Hashem tells him no, they're clear of that. Then he's trying to be Makatrig on Avodah Zarah. He's saying that they're chased with the last generation where nobody worshipped Avodah Zarah, because Avodah Zarah began with Enosh, Chase's son. And there are Jews that have been caught up in Avodah Zarah as well. So therefore, everybody who is descended from Chase, from Enosh and onward, is guilty of that, or at least there's people from every group who are guilty of that, and I want to be fed from them in Gehenna. So Hashem answers him with the next transposition of letters. This one is called Al-Bam. Here also we take the letters of the Aleph Beis and we divide them into two groups. But unlike At-Bash, where we do the first one with the last one and the second one with the second to last and so forth, here we just put the second group is the same order as the first group. So Lamed goes under Aleph and Mem goes under Beis and so forth until Tov goes under Chof. So this is another method that's described in Sefer Yetzirah. So Hashem answers him with the first four, beginning with the first four pairs of letters from that. Al Bam Gan Das. Hashem says, Rashi explains, Al Bam means not, and Bam in them, meaning Hashem says, no, you have no portion in them. Marashar explains, the Gemara is darshaning as though the Beis was a Chof. We find that the letters Beis and Chof look very much alike. So therefore, we're darshaning Al Bam as if it said, Oilichem, I will lead them. So where am I going to lead them? Hashem says, I'm not bringing them to you, Gehenim. Just the opposite. L'gan Hadas, I'm bringing them to the Garden of Hadassim, meaning Gan Eden. Gan Eden is called Gan Hadas because the Tzaddikim are called Hadassim, the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin. But the Sarsho Gehenim still doesn't give up. The next two pairs in that method are Hei Ayin Vov Fei, and that represents all of Gehenim of Menei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Shalom Oyef Anoichi. I'm tired, meaning Rashi explains the word oyef is sometimes used of hunger. Like we find, for example, Esav complains, ki oyef anoichi, that he's hungry and therefore he wants the stew that Yaakov made. So the same way, Gehenim is saying, I'm tired and I'm hungry. I want victims. So the hey again represents that he's speaking to Hashem, and he's saying that ayin vav fei, the vav often in Shoshan and Lashon Kodesh, vav and yod are often interchangeable. So therefore, that makes up the word oyef, which means tired. Marashal says it can also be Meloshin. We also find the word Oyef is used in connection with killing. It says about Esav when it says, Behu Oyef, he was tired because he had also just killed Nimrod. So therefore it means also that Gehenim wants to be murderous and be able to get people into it. And Eitz Yosef says in that connection, now that the Sarish of Gehenim tried to accuse the Jewish people of Znus, and Hashem rebuffed him on that, and he tried to accuse them of Avodah Zarah, and Hashem again told him nothing doing, now he's trying the third thing, Shvichos Damim. So therefore he's saying, Oyef Anoichi, meaning I want to accuse the Jews of Shvichos Damim, and therefore that should be a reason why I have control over them. So Hashem answers him with the next two pairs of letters, Zayin Sadik Cheskuf, representing Haloloi Zaresh of Yitzchak. These Jews are the descendants of Yitzchak, and therefore Yitzchak's chos is standing up for them, and you have no ability to harm them. Why specifically Yitzchak? Marashal says, we just learned a couple of days ago about how Yitzchak, out of all the three of us, is the one who stands up and defends for the Jewish people. We say also in Rosh Hashanah Davening, Ba'akedas Yitzchak, Lazare Hayyim, Barachim Tizko, that specifically we ask that Hashem to remember in our merit the schos of the Akedah of Yitzchak. Eitz Yosef says in continuation of here the Sarish of Gehenim is trying to accuse the Jews of Shvichos Damim, Hashem saying, on the contrary, not only do they not do Shvichos Damim, they're willing to allow themselves to be killed, Al Kiddush Hashem, like Yitzchak did. So then Hashem finishes off telling the Sarish of Gehenim with the last three pairs of letters of that method, Tar Yesh Kat, which represents Tar, wait, Hashem is saying, I understand, you Sarish of Gehenim are impatient, you want victims, well, wait, Yesh stands for there is, Kat represents groups, Yeshli Kittis from Umas HaOlam, I have groups upon groups of Goyish nations, Shani Nos and Loch, which I'll give you, you can have them as you can have them to feed yourself in Gehenim, you don't need the Jews. This is again going with the idea that the Rosha loses his place in Gan Eden and then Tzaddik takes it over instead. On the other, that same Gemara and Tzaddik says, on the other hand, the Tzaddik conceivably would have had a place in Gehenim if he had misbehaved. Instead, Hashem takes that and gives that extra to the Rosha, so the Rosha gets a double dose of Gehenim. So therefore, Hashem is saying the same way they were going to get back instead of the Jews. Marsha also says the Yud Shin doesn't just represent the word yesh, as in there is, but also it represents the shin yud olamus, the 310 world that it says at the end of Masechta Uktzin, at the end of Mishnayos, that Hashem has reserved for every tzaddik. So Hashem is saying, for the Jewish people, I have those. You want victims in Gehenim, you have the cat, you have the groups of umas olam that you can feed yourself on those. There is, by the way, there are other methods of transposing the letters of the Aleph Beis also. There's another one that's mentioned in the Zohar and another Sifrei Kabbalah, which the Gemara doesn't mention over here, called Ik Becher, where you divide, including the end of letters as well. So you put the end of letters at the end, representing Langa Chof representing 500 and Shlos Mem 600 and so forth. And therefore you divide the Aleph Beis into three groups of nine. And it actually comes out. It also comes in according to Misvakatan. Aleph, which is one, goes with Yud, which is 10, and Kuf, which is 100. And the same thing, Beis goes with Chof and Resh, and so on and so forth. That's another method. There's also one that Gemara mentions in a couple of places called Atbach, which is within each group of letters, you do the same kind of thing, but you put them together in a way that form powers of 10. So Aleph goes with Tes, Beis with Ches, and so forth, and Hey stands by itself. Similarly, Yud goes with Tzadik, and then Chof with Pei, and so forth, and Nun stands by itself, and then there's two different ways of figuring out what you do with the remaining letters, whether you just put Kuf with Tof and Resh with Shin, or whether you put Kuf with Langa Tzadik and Resh with Langa Fei, and so forth, to make thousands. So those are other methods. The Gemara didn't deal with them in this Drasha over here. Maybe these kids who came to the Beis Medrash didn't know of those methods. Okay. Yemien Mashiach Gola, Chofir. Where are we? Yeah, Chofir. In Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it says that the minhag is when you're counting people for a minion, you count using the pasuk Hashiyas Amecha because it has 10 words. Now, actually, in Sefer HaPardes from Rashi, it says to use a different pasuk. It says to use the pasuk Vani Beroiv Chasifa, which also has 10 words. So why is it? Why did that change? So the Rebbe says, because in the generations closer to the footsteps of Mashiach, when we have more and more the darkness and the doubled and redoubled darkness of Zman HaGolus, so when 10 Jews gather together, the first thing we do is to ask for the Geula, which that Pasuk, Hashiyas Hamecha, is asking Hashem, save your people and bless your inheritance and pastor them and then feed them and sustain them forever. So therefore, so when 10 Jews are gathering together, then specifically you want, the first thing you want to do is ask for the Gula. So therefore we use that pasuk instead. Continuing on halachas, we started talking yesterday about Birkas Hachama, which takes place once every 28 years. So v'hatzchila, you should say it right away in the morning by Netzach Hachama, because Yizin Nachdin in the mitzvahs. If at all possible, it should be with a big gathering, because Berdoi Ramahadras Melach, and of course you'd have to announce it ahead of time. If you can't gather right away in the morning, don't delay the mitzvah because of that. Just each person should say the bracha as soon as he sees the sun shining, because Zuzin Makdimin override Beroivam. B'dievet, a person didn't say Birkas Hachama in the morning, then he could say it up till 3 hours into the day, or B'shas Hachach, even until Chatzos. So if in the morning there are clouds, then wait until Chatzos, because then it might show, and then you'll be able to say it with Shema Malchus. If not, then you say it without Shema Malchus, and you wait another 28 years. Yehirotzin, that we should be zoicha to the order of Shiva Simei Bereshis. You don't say Birkas Hachama if you can't see the sun.
Oh, if it's cloudy.
If it's cloudy, if so, there's no saying. So if you're saying, first you should say it as soon as you see it in the morning. But if it's cloudy, then wait until Chatzos, if necessary, in order to say it, because you want to be able to say it. If not, then you're going to have to say it without Shema Malchus, and then you're going to have to wait another 28 years to try again.
Yeah, that was a timing thing. Okay, we'll wait.
Okay.